Sarah Bayou, Louisiana. 1:05 a.m., October 4. The flatboat glided slowly through the bayou. Too slowly, Jules Hébert thought tensely. He had deliberately chosen a flatboat rather than a motorboat because it would be less obtrusive at this time of night, but he had not counted on this case of nerves. Keep calm. The church was just up ahead.
It will be fine, Jules, Etienne called softly as he wielded the oars. You worry too much.
And his brother, Etienne, didn't worry enough, Jules thought in despair. Ever since childhood, it had been Jules who was the serious one, the one who had to accept the responsibility while Etienne ambled along through life with endearing blitheness. You arranged for the men to be waiting at the church?
Of course.
And you told them nothing?
Only that they would be paid well for the work, and I parked the motorboat to bring them where you told me to.
Good.
It will all go very easily,
Etienne smiled.
I promise you, Jules. Would I let you down?
Not intentionally. The affection between them was too strong. They had been through too much together. No offense, just asking, little brother. Jules stiffened as he saw the dark looming silhouette of the ancient stone church in the faint moonlight as they rounded the corner. It had been deserted for over 10 years and exuded dampness and decay. His gaze flew to the sparsely scattered plantation houses on either side of the bayou. No sign of anyone stirring.
I told you, Etienne said. Luck is with us. How could it be otherwise? Fortune is always on the side of the right.
That had not been Jules's experience, but he wouldn't argue with Etienne. Not tonight. Jules jumped out of the boat as they reached the landing, and the four men Etienne had hired streamed onto the boat.
Be careful with it, Jules said. For God's sake, don't drop it. I'll help them.
Etienne leaped forward.
Christ, it's heavy.
He put his massive shoulder beneath one corner.
On the count of three.
With great care, they lifted the huge black coffin onto the landing. At Lake Cottage in Atlanta, Eve Duncan woke with a start, her heart pounding.
What is it?
Joe Quinn asked drowsily.
Something wrong?
No. Eve swung her feet to the floor. I just had a bad dream. I think I'll get a glass of water. She moved to the bathroom. Go back to sleep. Good heavens, she was actually shaking. How stupid could she get? She splashed water on her face and took a few sips of water before going back into the bedroom. The lamp on the nightstand was on, and Joe was sitting up in bed.
I told you to go back to sleep.
I don't want to go to sleep. Come here. She went into his arms and cuddled close.
Safety, love, Joe. Want to make love?
The thought occurred to me. Maybe later. Right now, I want to know about your nightmare.
People do have bad dreams, Joe. It's not that uncommon.
But you haven't had one in a long time. I thought you were over them. His arms tightened around her. I want them to be over. She knew he did, and she knew he tried desperately to give her the security and contentment that he thought would rid her of them. But Joe should know better than anyone that the nightmare would never entirely go away.
Just shut up and go back to sleep.
Was it about Bonnie?
No.
Eve felt a ripple of guilt.
Someday she had to tell him why the dreams of Bonnie were no longer painful.
But not yet. Even after this last year with him, she still wasn't ready. Someday. The new skull? He'd been working hard on it. Maybe too hard.
I'm almost done. It's Carmelita Sanchez, Joe. I should be able to notify her parents in a couple of days.
Then there would be closure and, perhaps, peace for them.
And you know my work never brings me anything but satisfaction. No bad dreams there.
Just sadness and pity and a